This is your COVID-19 daily update with Dr. Anton Myberg.
Dr. Anton Myberg, very, very nice to speak to you live. So let's just talk about what is going on. Anecdotally, I am hearing about a lot of people around us that are becoming ill, that have contracted the virus. What is the situation around?
As you correctly say, a lot more people are being tested as positive at this point in time. The spread has increased, the community spread has increased, and we're seeing a bigger surge of patients that are coming out as positive. At this point in time, there are more patients being admitted to hospital, and there are more patients in the community, so more people are talking about it. Hopefully the stigma is being dropped and people are actually admitting to the fact that they do have it and they're protecting themselves and going into isolation.
The cases that you've seen, are they with people that have been careful?
It's very difficult to assess that because people deem themselves as careful but don't realize that they actually haven't been careful. So when you ask them if they've been careful, they say, yes, I've been very careful, I've been wearing my mask, but then I did stop to have coffee with somebody and I took off my mask and we talked in between it. And it's not really an issue because they are people that we know and they're friends of ours.
Yeah.
So we don't think we can catch the virus from them.
I'm convinced you can't catch it from somebody you know and like.
In South Africa, social distancing is just hanging out with only people that you know.
Exactly. It's like stranger danger.
Another one of those myths. Yes. Demythifying. Yes.
All right. So hold on. Just to be clear, from an expert's perspective, you can catch it from somebody you like.
You can catch
Medically.
It from somebody you like,
right,
and from somebody that you don't like.
No, obviously. I mean, we all know that. Okay. I mean, I guess the problem with even this conversation is the fact that we naturally, A, want to know where we got it from, and B, need to know where we got it from. So to some extent,
that does
cause...
So we need to know
cause,
where we got it from a tracing point of view.
Correct.
Because you want to track back and see who has got it so you can try and prevent those people from spreading it further.
Can we just, before we talk about other things, there's been a lot of messages we've already got around this drug that Tanati can't pronounce. What is it, Tanati?
Dexamethasone.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so that's an important drug. It's called dexamethasone, which is otherwise known as Decadron.
Okay.
This has been a drug that we've been using in South Africa actually for the last few weeks, but they've come out with a collaborative study in the United Kingdom saying that it decreases or reduces the death rate by up to one-third in your ventilated patients and up to one-fifth in your non-ventilated patients who are on oxygen. In other words, there's one death would be prevented in 8 people on a ventilator and one death would be prevented on 25 people who are on oxygen. Now, the importance of this is not for everyone to go and stockpile Decadron or dexamethasone at home. This is for hospitalized patients who are on oxygen, who are on ventilators. Once again, it's not a peer-reviewed study, but it is an excellent study that has come out, and they're doing further studies on it to review if they can decrease the fatality and mortality rate in people further.
So, but you've been using that, you say, here for already for a few weeks?
A few weeks, yeah.
Okay, and you are seeing decent results?
We are seeing decent results, but we've still got a lot of work to do. Once again, it's not a cure, but it's part of the treatment regime that we've been using.
If somebody suspects that they might have been in contact with somebody with COVID, and that's now going to be a standard story because there's so much community spread, what must they do? Must they go for a test?
Okay, so that's a very, very important question. We are running out of tests. We are running out of reagents, and there's a backlog at all the labs for all the testing. Our view is do not test every single person. If you have been in contact with somebody or you think you may have it, the better idea is to isolate yourself at home for the next 14 days. Unless you become extremely symptomatic with a fever, cough, shortness of breath, there's no point in testing yourself because even if the test comes back positive, you're still going to stay at home for that 14-day period. Unless other people are involved and there's a big problem with it, then don't go for the test. Once you go for the test, it does change things from the point of view that, yes, you know you're positive, but you're going to stay at home for 14 days anyway, so there's no need for it. The problem is if we run out of tests, we're not going to have enough tests to test the people in the hospitals that are extremely sick, and we're not going to be able to discern whether they've got influenza, whether they've got heart failure, whether they've got other diabetic complications or other emphysema complications or just plain COVID-19. Mm. So it's very important that we don't run out of these tests and people be responsible and don't have the knee-jerk reaction to say, well, I know somebody who was positive and I walked past them for less than 10 seconds on Sunday, therefore I need to go and have a test. We have to be responsible.
Right. So if you have been in contact with somebody that is positive, and that is highly likely at the moment, the best advice is just to self-isolate.
self-isolate for 14 days. You don't have to test. We don't have to know that we are positive. It doesn't change the outcome unless something dramatic happens.
Right.
Makes sense, especially because you treat it symptom by symptom.
Yeah, and unless, yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, it does make sense because, I mean, even if you do know that you're positive, there's no, like, cure for it. So you really do just have to buy that medicine, you know, obviously that relates to your specific symptoms.
What are people, if somebody is COVID positive and they've got mild symptoms, would you put them on a regime of medication, or would you just treat to symptom by symptom?
I think treat symptomatically. Mm. Push your vitamins during this time. We've said the zinc vitamins, the vitamin C, the vitamin D, the nicotinamide. Push yourselves on a general well-balanced vitamin. Keep your hydration up. Look after yourself. Eat well. Stay warm and stay indoors.
Eat well. Did you hear that?
Yes,
Nati?
Yes, I heard.
He said,
I heard.
What he actually meant is eat a lot.
Oh.
Eat a lot. Eat a lot. Eat a lot of carbs. Bake lots of banana bread.
Wow.
That's what he said. It's medical. That's medical advice, Nati.
Your interpretation of that.
It's not just interpretation. You heard it. You heard it. Yeah. Okay. Well, your view on schools, because there's a lot of talk, and we had this discussion on the show yesterday. Have we opened schools too early? I believe that there's a real chance that schools are going to be closing in the next 10 days because of this, just as we head towards the peak.
We haven't opened schools too early. Okay. We've opened schools at the right time, where we're giving our children a chance to be children again. We've decreased the anxiety in the certain groups of children that have gone back to schools. A small cohort of children have gone back to school. Not all the grades have gone back. They've staggered the amount of children going back. And at this point in time, it's not making a difference on the numbers of people. We aren't seeing a large, or we actually aren't seeing any children at school at the moment, and I'm talking about in the private schools, that have tested positive. The only people that are testing positive are the parents of some of the children or some of the family members. But there's been no transmission as of yet in any of our private schools that I'm talking about of the actual COVID virus. So at this point in time, no one's closing the schools. We continue with the schools. And the schools are probably one of the safest places for our kids to be at this point in time, because they're not transferring the virus to each other. They are socially and public distance. They are wearing masks. They are cleaning their hands all the time. They are separated from each other, and they are being protected. And we had a meeting last night, and in discussion with people like Professor Barry Shoup, we decided that if they're at home, there's more of a chance that their parents are organizing play dates for them and sending them out to other social gatherings where they can be infected, whereas that when they're at school, they're more protected.
Mm. What about, because should we not have maybe approached this province by province? Because, I mean, just last week, there was a headline.
Sorry,
that in,
you're breaking up,
Sanati. Yeah, it's hard to hear when we're on this call. It's hard to hear Sanati's mic.
So should we not have approached it province by province? Because last week, we saw a headline that the Western Cape, I think they were
sorry,
about 98.
Sorry, I'm saying you should not understand it. We're not approached province by province.
Yeah, yes, because you said last week in the Western Cape. What
about 98 children tested positive,
yeah,
and schools had to be shut.
So, yes, look, I mean, we are talking about the Gauteng province at this point in time. I can't talk about the Western Cape province. And once again, you've got to take it on the notion that if children in the school are infected and are infecting other people, it's a different story. But each school has got their own proviso and their own way of working it out and saying if someone is affected, they will close off that bubble of the school. And by bubble, I mean each bubble is a classroom. So it's one classroom. So if one person in one classroom gets affected, you don't have to close the whole school down. You close that classroom down because of the social distancing, because of the public distancing, and because of the way it's being treated, that you can actually close off a bubble and take that away and not affect the rest of the school.
Don't you think that it creates the feeling, if schools are open and parents are dropping kids at school and school kids are, you know, that they need to be less careful in other areas. So whereas schools might
be... It shouldn't create that feeling.
So
it shouldn't.
But I know, in theory, of course not. But so whereas schools might be careful, surely this kind of does create that feeling that it's all kind of okay now, whereas in fact we're in a significantly worse position today than we were in a month ago.
I do understand, and I do hear that. But once again, you're taking children to an environment that's extremely, extremely, highly, highly careful on every aspect. They're looking after them from their break times. They're separating them at break times. They're separating them in the classrooms. more than 1.5 meters or the desks. The desks are clean. Everything is done very meticulously. Whereas if you're going out somewhere else, there's no guarantees that any of that is being done, and you can't drop your card.
Can I just also ask you your view? And obviously I know your view, but I just want to talk about it for a minute that everybody else does on this notion of the private minyanim. And those are prayer services that are happening privately in people's homes. People claim they are being very, very careful, keeping social distancing, using a garden. Do you think this is problematic?
I think this is very problematic. As much as people claim that they're being careful, you cannot be careful. There's no way people are having a private service outside in this cold weather at this time. They'll all be indoors. And indoors, everyone is spreading the virus. Whether they're wearing masks, they're going to be taking the masks off here and there, touching things, they're going to be coughing. We're going to be dealing with influenza virus now in an indoor circumstances. So I don't believe that these private and social gatherings are of any benefit to anybody. They're going to ramp up the spread of the virus and are extremely dangerous.
And just to reiterate, what we're seeing in terms of community spread, would you say it is...
Community spread is going up.
Would you say it's significant, it's mild, it's medium? If you were to...
It's significant. It's okay. Spreading dramatically, and we've got to be careful. We've got to look after ourselves. We've got to stop these social and public interactions. We've got to stop everyone's having their dinners together over the weekends and these play dates. These are the problems that we are dealing with. And the problem is that people also have meetings. They don't wear masks during the meetings because they're in a boardroom and it's their friends and their colleagues, so they'll be okay. That is a myth, and you have to look after yourselves.
It's quite scary what is happening at the moment.
It's scary, but it's containable if you follow the rules. If you follow the rules, we can decrease the rate of spread. If you wear your mask, if you public distance, if you social distance, if you wash your hands, we can decrease the rate of spread, and we can decrease the spread of the virus by just following the simple rules. And it doesn't have to be scary.
Is it important to know if one of your children or somebody in the family develops flu-like symptoms? They might not have been out, or they have, you know. Is it important for the family then to know if that person is positive, if somebody might be going to work during this time? And because that's the part that I think a lot of us are dealing with at the moment, especially because it's the middle of winter.
Well, that's it. We're going into the flu season now. We're going into influenza season. And the advice is if someone in the family or someone in the house does develop symptoms, stay at home.
The whole family.
And if the symptoms don't resolve within 24 to 48 hours, then phone your general practitioner, phone your specialist, phone your health worker to discuss the case further before you make any decisions. Mm. And that's the important thing. The healthcare workers know what to do. They're all on the same page. And we can take this forward together and work it out so as to protect everybody.
Hatsola put out a statement as well asking people to please stay home unless absolutely necessary. You support that?
Yes. You've got to understand that they put that statement out not to make people scared, but they put it out because they're seeing the increase of people having social dates and having meals together, and they're seeing that going up in the community, and that was a response to that.
So, but you echo that advice. Unless you have to go out, don't go out.
Unless you have to go to work, don't, or things don't. They're talking about social gatherings and parties and just going out for the sake of going out. Don't.
And perhaps if you can order your shopping online, rather do that than go out on a constant basis and to meet people at a supermarket. Dr. Anton Meiberg, thank you. As always, we'll, of course, keep in touch with you. We look forward to your daily update. So what are the current numbers in South Africa, just before we let you go?
So currently there wasn't an update last night because there was a public holiday, and obviously the Department of Health don't believe that we need numbers on a public holiday because it might ruin the sentiment on the public holiday. But currently we're sitting on 76,334 cases with 1,625 deaths at present.
Numbers are very high. Lots of, according to Dr. Anton Meiberg, significant community spread. We need to be very, very cautious. A lot of this, as our president said, is in our hands.